Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
It's a Wednesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, Legends of the Fall was a war movie. Round number two, I've been gobbling up some game-centric shows left and right, one of which was about an arcade known as Aladdin's Castle. We're going to play a little game that would change the course of deployments and field training for all those little baby girls out there. Round three, the Commander-in-Chief lamented the fact that the Pentagon doesn't want to stop warring around the globe. Unfortunately, there's just nothing that can be done about it. Round number four, the VA is murdering kittens. Kate got super upset looking up this story. And round number five, for the next few months, most military members will be getting a 16% raise. Woohoo! Everybody say thanks, Department of the Treasury.
Thanks, Department of the Treasury. Hoo-ah.
What?
Hoo-ah.
Oh, you did a hoo-ah. I wasn't sure what
I was pretending
going on
to
there.
Be a soldier, grateful for a little bit of cash.
Well, it's nice to pretend you're a soldier. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, the guys at Feldman's of Coney Island don't have to do that. That's who the show is brought to you by. They're the world's first hot dog brand. It was established in 1867. It's veteran-run and Gold Star family business that was revived in 2015. The founders revived the brand in honor of their late brother, Jimmy, who was tragically killed on September 11th. Majority of the company has served in the U.S., and three of them are West Point grads. They all listen to the show. They all want to be a part of Wiener Wednesday, and so should you. It is Wednesday, after all, so maybe you should take your little dick skinners, go pull out your phone, and type in feltmansofconeyisland.com, because service members, veterans, and first responders all get 10% off with the ID.me at checkout. Tag ZBT and Feltman Experience on Instagram at Feltman's Coney Island. You're going to love their hot dog, but I would say, I mean, the hot dogs are obviously great, but the mustard, I did a little bit of salmon burgers and threw some of that mustard on there with a nice little dill relish that I made.
I could drink that mustard. It is like the best thing. It is the best thing. Yes, I agree.
And you would think, when I was growing up, I thought mustard is mustard. You know, there's certain things that you look at it, you're like, why would you go pay $12 or $14 a pound for this deli meat when you can just go buy some cheap shit for like 69 cents, same thing. Why would you do that? Now I know.
Now you
there
know.
There is levels to this shit.
Indeed. I'd take it over Grey Poupon any day. I'll tell you what.
Well, okay. Feldman's of Coney Island. Go get your hot dogs, but more importantly, put some mustard down your gullet.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I think this is a clear distinction between people who live in the North and people who live in the South. You guys, it's almost like summer is over after Labor Day weekend, right? Like, for you guys, most people stop going down the shore. Most people stop doing this and that.
You know what it is, chaps? It's not the weather up here in the Northeast that ends the summer. It is the start of raging bee season. And this was the first weekend that you couldn't walk outside with a lollipop, with a coffee, with a wine, without getting absolutely swarmed and myrtle-acked by these stupid yellow jackets. It ruins everything. I'm done.
Yeah, actually, that's not the reason at all. It's the mass exodus that continues to stop happening every weekend. Chaps, you're right. Everyone stops going out to Long Island. Everyone stops going down the shore. Football starts. People are back in the groove in the weekends. It will be interesting now that New Jersey has opened indoor dining, so that will include bars and restaurants showing football on the weekends. I don't know what the heck de Blasio is doing in New York City, but yes, the summer, once Labor Day comes and goes, summer is gone. Fall is here. Now we just wait on the cooler temperatures.
Nah, it's the bees.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Kate. There, it's the bees. If you don't want to go outside, I would never go outside. That's the reason why we didn't have water in our backyard, because there was some wild hornet's nest. And anytime we bust out the sprinklers, I had to take apart my legit sprinkler system, because if we had water all the time, it would be like bees. It would be the scene from Tommy Boy.
This weekend, I was with a group at an Airbnb that had a swimming pool. As soon as we get there, big pitcher of margaritas made, and we're like, ooh, we're all go outside by the pool. There's six of us. All of a sudden, we all got swarmed so bad that people were like throwing their margs in the pool, throwing them like at the fence, people running back inside. It was horrible. Yeah,
it's obnoxious. It's unreal how those bees, they can sniff out that sugar from miles away.
I will say, this reminds me, people are like, I always get this comment when I'm running from a bee, which I do all the time. I thought you were in the Marine Corps. You know what? We're human, okay? I would give up a position any day of the week to get away from a bee.
That's why those military working bees would be a brilliant thing. I mean, the intimidation factor. People talk about working dogs being a psychological deterrent. You got a swarm of bees coming at you.
Forget it.
The fuck out of
We're done. So if the Carlos Hathcock had a bee come into his area, he wouldn't have had that shot.
All right, weekend. Let's go. round number one.
Great weekend all around, though. Weekend all around. Good. I'll just say that, and I'll leave it at that, because there's nothing else that needs to be said.
Okay, so we're going to get into the first round of business today. Over the weekend, last night, actually. So I guess
I'm so excited for this. I'm so excited. Go ahead.
I guess I should start off by saying my wife and I don't get to watch very many movies together from start to end because we have kids. They're constantly around. If there's an adult movie that we want to watch, and it's if I look at the running time and it's over 2 minutes and 10 or 2 hours, 10 minutes, that's my usual line of when I know we can get through it or not. Normally, I like to go around 90 minutes. So we were watching the movie. She's like, well, let's watch this because we got to sit down. McCartney was upstairs playing Fortnite. Kelsey was gone at a pal's house. We were like, holy shit, it's quiet. Maybe we should watch a whole ass movie. And it was like 6:45. And so we're thumbing through. There's just a million options of what you can watch. That's like half the time that you spend is just looking
it's
for
like
which one to watch.
Just being hungover when you've got a giant diner menu in front of you. It's actually the worst thing.
Really, and what do you do? What do you do? You always go back to something you've had a million times.
Cream chip beef me.
You
for
end
me,
up
that's
watching
a Few Good Men or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You end up watching something that you've seen a billion times instead of exploring a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So last night we were thumbing through, and I stopped on Legend of the Fall. I was like, oh, I've never seen this. And immediately she was like, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. Push play. She's like, let's do it. We didn't even look at the running time. We were fucking crazy with it. We didn't even look at the running time. We just started it. And once Brad Pitt
rides
up over the little hillside for the first time, that motherfucker is the epitome of hot. At that point in Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt is hotter than anyone has ever been in moment.
And honestly, that's really, I mean, Brad Pitt had been in movies before, but this was the movie that cemented Brad Pitt as a sexual icon in Hollywood and really, really, really put him on the map. I can remember being in the third grade, going into the fourth grade and riding on the bus, and there were two girls on the bus. They went and saw this movie in the theater. They were in eighth grade. They went and saw this movie in the theater like 8 times, and all they would talk about was Brad Pitt. I didn't see the movie until much later in life, so I didn't understand what the hell they were talking about, but now I get it.
Mm-hmm. And when you see Brad Pitt, and he's in this role, that dude can act his dick off. Like, the way that he is in this movie versus, like, Snatch or Fight Club, just so unbelievably different. And I had no idea. They need to change the cover of this. I understand putting Brad on there. This is a war movie. This movie is essentially about war.
That's a stretch, but let me hear your reasoning.
Well, for those who, can we give a brief summary of Legends of the Hidden Fall?
I'm about to.
Okay. Three brothers living in the boondoggles. Now you take it from here.
All right. So Kate hasn't actually seen the movie, so she added that tidbit in. So we have Legend of the Fall. The father and the way that he raises his sons while the mom is away, he raises his sons based on some of the things that he had seen in war, like his reactions from war. He's known as the colonel, the super brave guy. He raises his sons in a certain way to be anti-government, so he's shocked when they do go to war.
Because he was in the war against the Native Americans, and he didn't like what was happening. And so he dipped out and moved them to Montana, but he still had that military way about him.
Yeah, still had that colonel way about him. Anthony Hopkins was unbelievable in the movie, too. And so all three of the sons ended up going to war. One of the sons was tragically killed, and the younger brother...
Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah, the younger brother is the one who was trying to rescue him and things like that. And when he pulls out the knife and cuts out his brother's heart, good God, man. Like,
he did that
so
that the three brothers go off to war. I thought it was the youngest that dies. And
yes,
they,
it is. It's Samuel that dies.
It's Samuel that dies. The youngest one dies. And that was the one that the two older brothers had always tried to protect. And when he went off to war, he was madly in love with Susanna. They were right. That was like the hot patoots. So he was engaged to a lady back home, hot to trot, hot to trot. He goes off to war. All three brothers go off to war. The youngest brother dies. The other brother finds his body, like holds him as he's dying, and then chops his heart out to send it back home so the heart can be buried on the ranch. I mean, that's kind of a, you're right. That's tough.
So Samuel had these aspirations of greatness. He wanted to be great like his father. His father was very much revered as a strong soldier and leader of men, and Samuel wanted to do the same thing. And yes, although they could not bring the body back home, they brought the heart, and they were just very, very intense when he takes that knife out and just cuts his heart out right in the middle of the battlefield.
But speaking of cutting hearts out,
once Tristan's in the war, putting on the paint, the blood paint, going out, getting scalps and doing all that kind of stuff. And then coming back, it was super, like, it was PTSD. Like, he was suffering 100% from PTSD, and it was just an unnamed thing. When I was watching it at the end, I thought, you know what? This is the cowboy edition of And So It Goes by Von. Okay. Like, it's the same thing. Like, he was like, I grew up on a ranch, and so it goes. My brother died, and so it goes. My new wife left me for my brother whenever I left, and so it goes. I was here killing zebras, doing all kinds of stuff. It's a war movie. That's not packaged as a war movie.
And what really makes it a war movie is that then when the other two veteran brothers get back, there's Susanna, the essentially the widow of the youngest brother, and all of a sudden...
Who is kind of like, I'll say it, she's kind of like a North Dakota, a little bit of a barracks rat.
A little bit of a... So... He's looking like a tasty snack. The brothers then are like fighting.
Wait,
for
hold on.
Love.
Can we talk about that for a second? How weird is it? She's like, yeah, so my fiance's dead. I think I'm going to go home now. And Colonel Lalo says like, nah, you're just going to stay here with us. He's like, she's like, oh, okay. And then she just decides, oh, okay, I guess I'm in love with Tristan.
To leave that ranch though. That place is beautiful.
It was gorgeous, wasn't it? It really, really was. But I have to imagine it might get a little lonely out there with just the family.
Do you start to wonder where Pearl Harbor's love line got its ideas from? It's a very old Josh Hartnett, whoever's gone.
Well, I think that was it was pretty common back in the day, though.
Yeah.
It was pretty
common
to do that. And we don't talk about World War One enough. Those scenes, trench warfare, fuck me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the mustard gas when he's just stumbling all over the place because he can't see anything and he's screaming for this brother. Yeah, I would never see it as a war movie, Chaps. I always saw it as a movie about relationships. You have the relationship between the brothers. You have the relationships between the brothers and their father. And then you have the relationship between the brothers, all three brothers, mind you, and the girl. They said, Brad Pitt, I mean, you talk about Brad Pitt, that he's sort of the main character in this movie. The stab says he's the rock that everyone broke themselves against. And Susanna was the water that could slowly seep into the rock and break it apart. So I never saw it as a war movie, but I will allow it. And
Maybe it's a movie about how war affects families, you know?
Damn,
it affects the relationships between
Keep
them.
Keep pondering that while we move on to round number two. Round number two, what do we got, Kate?
All right, so Chaps has been playing some video games. And I'm going to...
Yeah, I guess I should.
Yeah, I guess you should introduce this.
I'll interview. So I've been watching Netflix, and I think you both have seen the Rubik's Cube documentary. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
The gaming one? The one that's like a 7-part series all about games? Oh, no.
There's one just about Rubik's Cubes, and you have these people that are setting world records. There's one dude who averages putting together a Rubik's Cube in 4.8 seconds. He just...
That's just absurd.
There's people doing it with their feet. There's people doing two at one time in different hands and still getting it done in less than 20 minutes. It's all these shows are crazy. And there's another one that's on Netflix, the 7-part series that you were talking about, Kate.
Did you know that there are 47 quintillion, I don't even know how much that is, about 43 quintillion possible combinations on a Rubik's Cube? So 6 sides representing 9 blocks of a single color, orange, yellow, green, red, white, blue. Rubik's, that's 43000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 I just thought you should know that that is quite the feat if you can do it that quickly, because there's a whole
especially
lot of ways
with
you can
your
go.
Feet. Like, if you could do it with your feet. But there's another one that was about the introduction in the 1980s of video games. Did you guys love going to arcades when you were little?
I wouldn't say love, but I mean, we did it growing up, and then more so down the shore on the boardwalk was when we really went to arcades. We didn't have an arcade in town that was like the hangout, like you'd see in Dazed and Confused, like that. Mm-hmm. But definitely down the shore, when you go to the boardwalk, you play at the arcades.
Yeah, our mall had one, but it was like fading by the time I was coming up or whatever. But yeah, it was down the shore. It was mostly skee ball. But even now, as like a godmother and aunt and stuff like that, you get suckered into those things. They really take your cash, man. They really steal it away.
I think the bigger thing now for adults, at least here in this area, there's these bars called Barcade, which is a bar, but it has all the old school arcade games, which is kind of a cool concept.
Well, one of these shows was talking about how the video game empire in the 1980s here exploded, like really went off. They had this Japanese dude who invented the game called Space Invaders that took Japan by storm and eventually came over here. And he was saying that the game is good, but it's complicated. He's the one that made the game, and he said he's never gotten out of level one. Like, he can't even move on past the second level.
Well, that game, when it in the first few months following its release in Japan, Space Invaders was so popular, there was over 100,000 Space Invader machines in Japan alone, generated over $600 million, and the entire country of Japan ended up having a coin shortage because so many kids were playing that they literally ran out of coins. That's how popular it was when it hit Japan. So when it came here, it was like a huge explosion. It was crazy.
Do you think that there's anything that's going on right now that we're going to look at it in 20 years and be like, man, how is that crazy so insane? Like,
yeah, the coronavirus.
Now I look back and think about, you're going out to arcades every day. Like, that's what you're doing is arcades, where it got to the point where one year it was they got $9 billion or $10.5 billion for the video game industry in the early 80s.
Well, but think about this. We all grew up more or less in the 90s was really when we came of age. And by the 90s, just about every home had their own gaming console. So the idea that we would go to an arcade, I think we just missed that because that was more prevalent in the 80s when less people had them in their homes.
Yeah, pretty cool.
But there is one thing about the Aladdin's Castle. If you could go in there, I think that when you're picking a game in an arcade, one, it's how much am I going to get for this coin? Like, how long can I make it last? Because there's some games I knew I was going to be out. I never understood the ticket craze. I was never a ticket craze person.
Oh.
But we're all at the point now with the age bracket that we are that if we were still in the military, we'd be – cons would probably almost a major. I would probably be sergeant major or first sergeant, something like that, and Kate would be a gunny. If we were in charge of a unit – and the colonel said, you guys can bring one video game, but all the troops have got to agree on it. What would your recommendation to the troops be?
For me, just for the FAP factor, if we're talking an infantry unit, I'm going to give them a little Ms. Pac-Man. I feel like give them something to play, but also something to go back to the porta potty too. And have a little razzle dazzle. Yeah, that. And then I would also say, just as an addicting, a mindless one, you get back from patrol, you don't want to think, and you just want to. And they get endless lives in this game, but Frogger. That way they can go against each other and see how many they can get. They can be reminded of the traffic back home. They're probably missing traffic jams, you know. So I think my two would be Miss Pac-Man and Frogger.
Cons?
See, I don't like those because you can only be one person and play them at a time. I think you have to get games where you can get more than one person involved. And also, I think soldiers love to compete. So I think the right answer is air hockey because – you don't really have to be athletic to play air hockey. Like, if we got Papa Shot, I'm just going to beat you guys at Papa Shot, and that's not going to be fun for me. After the first few times, I'm just going to get bored of beating you guys. Exactly. But air hockey, you at least have a shot. So I think I'd go air hockey.
Okay. All right. I can see violence breaking out, but...
Oh my God, yes. The gambling, the violence, the fights that would break out because of this game would be abound. Trust me. I know this.
Kyle, what would you bring?
Rampage. You guys remember that game?
No, what is it?
Yeah, I loved it, Kyle.
You're like a monster, like a Godzilla-type monster.
It was Godzilla and a gorilla.
Right, and you just go around and smash buildings and find food, and the more you smash, the more points you get. It's really mindless and pointless, but it's so much fun.
How about when you would find a person in the building, you'd punch open the building, there'd be a person, and then they ate the person?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
As monsters do.
Mm-hmm. That could be a good anger release.
Mine would definitely be NBA Jam. I would have NBA Jam there.
See, that's a good one too.
Either that or NFL Blitz. Those are my two.
See, I was thinking these had to be like old school arcade games.
NBA Jam's those old count too. Arcade. Yeah, you could put those on anything that's in the old arcade. I think that applies. Skee Ball would obviously be up there. You could have some great Skee Ball tournaments. I think that one's almost like when Kyle and I did the top 10 tools. You don't put a screwdriver or a hammer in because that's obvious. Skee Ball is the greatest arcade game.
Did you know the first Skee Ball was invented in 1909 and they were originally 36 feet long? 36 feet long.
I thought about making one for my backyard.
You should. They're only 14 feet now, so you could do it.
Oh, regulation. That's a long 36 feet.
36 feet is long as fuck.
Long, man.
Yes. Yep.
Well, it probably adapted from bowling in some way, so that's probably why it started out as long as it did, if I had to guess. I've never done the research on Skee Ball, but that's what I'm guessing. Two things. Chaps, isn't there a version of NBA Jam that has you can play four people at once?
I would imagine so. Yeah,
anytime you can get multiple people involved, I think that's a good choice. But also, have you guys ever seen the movie The Wizard with Fred Savage?
Oh yeah.
Oh, talk about good arcade movies. That's a winner.
Okay, and people do love talking about a good arcade movie.
Oh, Pinball too, of course.
Oh, Pinball's up there, yeah. Duh. Pinball people are weird though. That's a weird group.
Yeah, yes, it is. But so are military people, so.
True. I mean, there's definitely in every barracks somebody who just loves playing a little bit of pinball.
Yeah. Oh, this is a question I had for our listeners, and I would love to hear feedback on this. At what point did cornhole really become popular? I feel it was like 2010, 2011. I wonder if people have built cornhole boards while on deployments.
I'm sure.
Because that's a pretty easy thing to build, I think, if you're so inclined, if you know how to build things like you guys do. Oh, you had cornhole?
Yeah, we played all the time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. We played cornhole, Risk, spades.
And you can put all that stuff on your resume and get some help with our friends at Envelts. Facing the transition out of the military is rarely easy. It doesn't help that the staggering number of options you're faced can be overwhelming. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel for all veterans, and that light shines brightest here in Indiana. These folks are from Indiana. This is not just a place to pass through. This is a place to put down roots and raise a family. Lucrative careers and fast-growing industries are plentiful in Indiana. Housing costs are amongst the lowest in the nation, and you can live in a country while being less than an hour from a world-class city. At Invest, we're showing veterans how to translate the valuable skills they learned in the civilian world while connecting them with careers they can be proud of. They have 80,000 current job openings in Indiana. Invest.org is the digital connection point for employers specifically looking for veterans. And that stuff happens a lot. I didn't think it would, but now a couple of weeks ago, I got a letter from a professor at the University of Auburn saying that she was looking for somebody in oceanography to have an internship there that you would leave with your PhD.
Wow.
And they wanted to hire a veteran for the position. And some of the listeners from the show actually reached out. And one of them got it. One of them got the position that listened to the show. So
hell
it's pretty awesome.
That's super
It's important to note with Invets, too, although they are based in Indiana and they search primarily in Indiana, they do have contacts outside of Indiana. So just if you're so inclined, still reach out to them, even if you don't want to live in Indiana.
Absolutely.
They may have a contact in other states.
Yes. And don't poo-poo Indiana. Indiana's a fantastic
place. It's one of my favorite
great
spots.
Great place. Great state, but, you know, some people don't want to live there.
I've partied it up.
Go to invets.org/0 to create a profile, learn more about the Indiana communities, and browse your current openings in the communities that you live in, and receive a free shirt at invets.org/0. All right, let's get going with round number three. Kate, what do we have for that one?
For round number three, President Donald Trump said on Monday that top Defense Department leaders want to keep waging wars in order to keep defense contractors, and I quote, happy. I do believe that checks out, the old revolving door. Trump continues to fight allegations that he made offensive comments about fallen U.S. service members, including calling World War One dead at an American military cemetery in France, losers and suckers in 2018. The Atlantic first reported on the anonymously sourced allegations. At a White House news conference Monday, Trump repeated his claim that the story was a hoax and said, I'm not saying the military is in love with me. The soldiers are. Oh, okay. However, he added, the top people in the Pentagon probably are not, because they want to do nothing but fight wars. So all those wonderful companies that make bombs and make the planes and make everything else stay happy. It's what is that tweet? It's like when someone you disagree with says something that is pretty spot on and you're like, damn it.
But I don't think that it's spot on. This is the thing that I kind of don't get right now. Mm-hmm. It's like Trump is campaigning like he's not currently the president. It makes no sense. He's like, this is what's going to happen in Joe Biden's America when it's literally happening right now. Like, what are we doing here? What if you're the president? And I hated Obama about this too. And Obama, when he came up for when he ran for president, he ran on a platform. I'm going to get rid of Guantanamo Bay. I'm going to stop the war in Afghanistan. 8 years later, no, the fuck you didn't. You had the ability to. And people say, you got to get Congress to do it. No, the fuck he doesn't. Just say, close it. Bring him home right now. Do it. Do it. Yeah. I dare you. Do it.
Two things. Number one, like, I don't know how you guys feel. I didn't really lend much credence to that article from The Atlantic. The Atlantic is well known as being a far-left publication. You give me one anonymous source, okay, maybe. You give me three anonymous sources, now I'm starting to wonder what the heck's even going on.
Yeah, but that Atlantic story was fact-checked by people at the AP, CNN, Washington Post, the New York Times, and Fox News.
Well, I don't know. I don't lend much credence to things written in The Atlantic. And I'm not saying that to defend President Trump, because obviously he said a lot of things that are quote unquote not great. But anyway, I don't know why he doesn't just, if he doesn't want these wars to continue, he doesn't want the revolving door, as you said, Kate, to continue. He could do more if he wanted to do that. But I mean, He could pay that lip service all he wants. I have to imagine he's friends with some of these folks in these defense contractors companies. So I don't see it ending anytime soon.
They can sell bombs to Saudi Arabia and shit like that.
And yeah. Trump's relationship with military brass has been strained since he threatened this summer to use the Insurrection Act to provide troops for law enforcement during the protests after George Floyd's death/murder. General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has also expressed regret for walking with Trump through Lafayette Square in what turned out to be a photo op during the protests. Yeah, that'll get a high-ranking officer a little pissed, probably. Defense Secretary Mark Esper, whom Trump appointed, was defense contractor Raytheon's chief Washington lobbyist before he became Army Secretary in 2017. So like I said, they switch back and forth all day long. They go from, who was it? Whatchamacallit? The vice president shot the
Cheney.
Cheney. Cheney was a huge in, what was the company he was huge in behind the
Blackwater.
Scenes?
Blackwater.
It was, there was another one. Halliburton. Yes, sorry, Halliburton. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's absolutely ridiculous, but that's neither here nor there with Trump. But if you look into that sometime, you'll probably feel a little.
I mean, biffed. Do any part of you guys just say like, all right, that's just the way it works, and that's the way it's always worked. Maybe it'll change in the future, but that's just the way it works right now. Yes, I don't want to act like government's this big thing that like where these sorts of things don't happen anywhere in business. Like if you have a friend that you're gonna help, that just happens all the time. Like so, mm-hmm. I don't know why we're acting like this is this big secret thing that happens in the government that
it's not
doesn't
a
happen anywhere
thing.
Else.
Well, not secret, but.
Because
it is something
is
that happens
different when it involves you have to keep like the number of bombs and planes and lives are churning too. It's not like other businesses where the result isn't it's human capital is where the loss is. That was a pretty troubling thing. It's every day, man. I'm just so tired of news. Even like preparing for the show, like, going through the news, like, oh, more service members in Guam got fucking coronavirus and are sick all over the place. Every aspect of news is depressing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I've grown so, I don't want to say pessimistic because I like to think I'm an optimistic person, but you're right. It's hard to open the news and not see something negative.
There's still good out there. You can find it. There's
like round number four, Kate, what do we got there?
A taxpayer watchdog group has filed a federal lawsuit against the Department of Veteran Affairs seeking the release of records related to taxpayer-funded experiments on cats. White Coat Waste Project, which advocates for defunding animal experiments, disclosed in a recent investigation that the LAVA has spent nearly $5 million to buy live cats for sleep experiments. It then implants electrodes in their tiny little cat skulls, kills them, and removes their brains. $5 million worth of cats.
That's a lot of cats.
Well, that's... We got to think of how much bang for
stop. Nothing any of you can say will fix this for me. WCW.
$5.
Said it solicited all, none of you are allowed to talk, said it solicited all documents and records of such experiments from the VA through the Freedom of Information Act, adding that it brought the lawsuit when the department failed to respond after 8 months. VA spokesman Susan Carter said the department does not comment on pending litigation, adding that WCW has spent years falsely claiming the VA's life-saving research with canines was not scientifically necessary. I don't even know what want to know what these – who is in charge at the LAVA and what are they doing with cats and dogs? Not great. According to Carter, the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine has cited the necessity of using animals for research at the VA. We work off WCW's attempts to ban VA animal research are rooted in emotion, not science, she said. I still feel like you don't have to murder cats and dogs. My beautiful, I'm looking at Spork right now, sleeping on top of his tower. Look, I love veterans. I want to stop.
If we're attaching our grandmas to fucking mortar rounds and shooting them up into the sky, I don't think cats are off limits. If you can find a good kitten, if Sprinkle Dinkles had the ability to cure, let's say, traumatic brain injury, somehow, Sprinkle Dinkles gets it and then gets the electrodes and dies. You got to put her on like the wall of heroes of cats. And I think that that would make her legacy beautiful.
Well, the VA's fiscal, you're wrong. And that's horrible. The VA's fiscal 2021 funding bill passed by the House on July 24th zeroes out funding for any experiments on dogs that cause pain or distress to the dogs, with narrow exceptions for service dog training programs. But a bipartisan coalition, this is bringing people across the aisle. Okay, they sent a letter to the VA Secretary Wilkie saying, hey, let's stop these cat experiments, like $5 million worth of little cat brains. Not great. And it's a sleep study. This is a fucking sleep study. Okay, what are we doing
lots
here?
Lots of people suffer for sleep study, large about it.
You don't need cats. I don't care. You don't need cats. Do it. The sleep study on cats is taking place despite the fact that the LAVA ended sleep disorder experiments on dogs in 2017 after it was determined the tests were unnecessary and that alternatives were available. This is not necessary. At the LAVA, there's some kind of psycho freak in charge who just is into this kind of shit. Humans are not cats. You're not going to get the same results no matter what. So what are we doing? $5 million worth of cats that could probably, let's all be honest here, go towards shit that actually works and actually matters.
I'm not a scientist. Insane. So I won't purport as though I know what these experiments can reveal.
I'm looking at Spork right now. He's sleeping like an angel on top of the enormous cat tower that I bought for him.
Yeah, but like Chop said, Kate.
No, I'm taking my headphones off, but you can keep talking.
If Spork could do this experiment and it could save the lives of 20 veterans, you wouldn't even consider that?
No.
What about if what happened to Spork in this scientific study ended constipation? You know the struggles of constipation.
I would rather die filled with poop.
How long do cats live?
Oh, not forever. Long enough.
Like 17, 20 years, some not shit long like enough. That.
Sprinkle okay, so what if we take
until I die?
Take the cats at the end of their lives when they're, you know, going to die anyway and do the experiment.
And then make them have crazy nightmares and then take their little cat brains out?
We only take terminally ill cats. What if we did that?
All right, let's move on to round number five. Round number five today is going to be brought to you by our friends at... Oh, where is it? God, my computer's moving slow. Barkbox.
You know what, chaps? A dog probably ate your ad read.
That's probably right, because we got a little super chewer by Barkbox. I said in an email to one of our colleagues that was reminding me about a super chewer ad, like, look, and I got real cocky with it. I was like, Gus does not chew on stuff. He won't do it. He does not like it at all. This stuff, Gus is getting older. I'm letting him out there. I've even started letting him have some people food. If I'm eating like a French fry or something, I'll like sneak him one because he's 7 years old now. So he enjoys it. This weekend, they sent me a package where it had like weed stuff in it, where there was a doggy bong, a doggy joint, and like the joint hat where you could roll the blanket up over
a giant doobie that he could chew on. Yeah.
and Gus was dragging it all around town. There's two that just look like straight up marijuana flowers, and Gus was walking around with that. We put on some Bob Marley, and he absolutely loved it. And it's so fun. Like, what if you have a dog or cat, like, and you don't spoil the shit out of them and bring them little treats and let them feel so happy? Like, when I go and bring Gus a brand new bone, that just lights up my entire soul.
As opposed to volunteering Gus for experiments at the VA?
Yeah, but if Gus could... No, I wouldn't do it with Gus at all. I don't even want to joke that way. Mm. Gus loved it. You can see it on my Instagram and things like that. Make sure you go to supertour.com/DBT and get a free weed-themed toy in your first box. That's what I was talking about. That's at supertour.com/DBT for a free 420-themed toy in your first box when you sign up. And that one just puts asses in the seats. If your friends come over and your dog has weed toys, I think that's a good conversation starter just right there.
It's just a hoot. Bring it to the park.
All right, let's move on to round number five. This story, I am worried about the modern military person, because if you put old Lance Corporal Cawthron in a spot and you told me that we are going to do tax payroll deferment, would not listen to a brief. As soon as whoever gets up there and start talking about taxes, I am zoned out. I'm not listening to shit. Kate, were you the same way as a junior troop?
I wasn't listening.
Kate's the same way right now.
I'm the same way right now. As soon as you said something about taxes, I stopped listening. I was like, no, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, because we just don't care about it. So the president has signed a new authorization that's going to have the tax payroll deferment. It's going to take place over the next couple of months. It's going to be September 1st through December 31st for all federal employees who make less than $4,000 on a biweekly basis. So basically, what the math came down here is every 05 and below and W-5 and below is going to be a part of this. So they're going to take a portion of your payroll tax and defer it where you have to pay it back next year. Now, if you're a troop, I think most troops have no idea why they're paid what they're paid, or if it's wrong or if it's right or whatever. They just don't know. So if you show up and you have an extra 16% in your bank account as PFC Kate, what are you going to do about it, Kate?
I drink, I guess.
You don't know.
You're going to completely blow
extra.
Yeah, I have no idea. And then to know, like, who's going to remember that they got to pay it back, like, or whatever, or that there's a defer, like, that it's not just, I don't know.
This reminds me of those videos that went viral a little while ago where they put the bowl of candy in front of the kid and walk away and say, don't touch it. Don't touch it until I come back. Yeah. This is exactly what's happening here. Hey, this money that's now in your bank account, don't touch that. And then what are these junior people expected to do? It's ridiculous.
And you can't even opt out of it. That's the crazy part.
That's the worst part.
You can't even say, like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it because I know I'm irresponsible as fuck. I don't want to have to write you a check. Writing a check for $4,000 to the government when you're a PFC, get out of town, man.
I'll tell you what. Writing the government a check for $4,000 at any point in your life really stinks, because you're like, you know what? Government. You have all this money. You don't need my $4,000. Get your greedy little hands out of my pocket.
And I'll say anybody that doesn't need it is probably the active duty folks. Like, their pay has remained steady. It's been steady the entire time.
Yeah, this is a recipe for disaster.
I mean, if I were a commander, I would say, listen, like, just pretend you're not getting that money. I know that's a freaking tall order. But
you know what? You should have a training brief. If you're in charge now, have a training brief where everybody gets to bring their own little laptops, and we figure out how to move that money aside into a secret account that we don't even see. We do that all as a training exercise. You can come as voluntary, but we're going to teach you how to do it, because you're going to need to do it, like, to be able to pay that money back.
Otherwise, next year, the payday loans are going to be very busy around the bases.
it'll seem cool when you first get that extra money in your bank account. You're like, oh, wow, I'm rich. But eventually you're going to have to give it back anyway. So it's almost like you never had it to begin with. So whether you pay it back now or later, it doesn't matter. So yeah, you just need to put it in your savings and don't touch it and pretend it never even came to you.
But imagine being one of the troops who is going to deploy, and you have your deployment schedule in January, where you don't really have to worry about making that money. If you're a senior troop there, you get 16% more money prior to a deployment, and then you go on the deployment, you make your hazardous pay, your imminent danger pay on top of that, and you won't even notice the difference. That's when you win.
That might be the loophole.
That's a good
but
one.
Also, too, you actually would have to sit down and crunch some numbers. You can't just do some fuzzy math on this. I think you'd have to do some serious crunching of the numbers to understand exactly how much is going to be coming in extra. And then while you're on that deployment, exactly how much you need to be paying back so you don't screw yourself
Did
in the end.
We pay taxes when we're in the military?
Yes, yes, Kate.
You don't pay taxes when you're deployed.
Not when deployed.
No, no. I mean, were we the same where, like, you had to send in a check by the 14th in April?
No, they take it out automatically.
No, they just take it out of your paycheck.
I was going to say, I was like, guys, I don't think I ever paid my taxes when I was in.
Oh, my.
That's not something to admit on the old podcast there, Kate.
Kate, did real you do quick, your... did you file your taxes every year in the military?
That is...
Please.
Is that Kate, a... better question. Did you file your taxes this year?
This year, yes. Was that a really thing you do when you're in? You file your taxes?
You didn't never go yes. to like the bank of Lance Corporals who had gone through the HR block fucking training and do your taxes? That's where I always did it, at like the tax center or the S6. You could go in there and they would help you out with your taxes. And it was some 20-year-old that didn't know shit about taxes.
If you're a tax lawyer, go
ahead
and reach out.
If they haven't come for me yet, they're not gonna.
So, you know what, Kate? No. What they're probably doing right now is they're coming for you and you don't even realize it. So instead of getting money back each year, they're just like, oh, yeah, you were due X amount of dollars on your tax return. Yeah, we're just going to keep that from all the years that you didn't file your taxes.
If they were, I wouldn't notice anyway.
They'll
so
probably
I guess I'm
waive
cool.
it once you donate wow, sport okay. for fucking training in the VA.
Okay.
Yep. All right, let's move on to save rounds, alibis, cons. What do you got?
42-0, 55-3. But it's only week one. 1 week at a time, guys. 1 week at a time. Speaking of football, I want to give a shout out to former guest Cole Christensen and also to Elijah Riley, who made the practice squads for the Chargers and the Eagles, respectively, making the NFL.
Yeah, go not, Birds.
Not an easy thing to do. So great for those guys. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this.
Oh, my God.
But I got into it a little bit with people on the old interwebs. About, you know, hey, making Labor Day about the troops. Labor Day is not about the troops. We don't need to make everything about us, because when you make everything about us, it becomes disingenuous, in my opinion. So believe me, I'm very grateful that everyone is so appreciative of our service and current people serving their service. But you don't need to tell us thank you every single time there's a holiday. And like,
as long as we get to keep St. Patrick's Day and Arbor Day about ourselves, too. And Easter.
Okay, yes.
Kyle, what do you got?
And I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
This weekend, I think it was this weekend. This weekend went by real fast. Anyways, a bunch of people in California were trapped by the fires and got rescued by the California National Guard.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys seen that. It's a pretty crazy video.
They rescued a ton of people. They were like putting in work. Yes.
So shout out to them. Great work from the National Guard, saving actual lives in a very shitty situation.
And it was crazy.
I just want to mention that.
In the photos, people, it was a ton of campers, and they literally had all driven their cars, some of them to a lake, and their cars were like halfway in the lake as the fires were burning. Like, they were going to have to go in the lake, and like, otherwise, there's so many crazy things from California this weekend. Mm-hmm. That stupid gender reveal that lit that like 40,000 acres on fire and all that stuff.
Can we agree that gender reveals are the worst thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ever? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Not
Thank
great.
You.
No
not
one cares about your baby but you.
No.
Period.
Not a single person. Stop having gender reveal parties. Stop having engagement parties. If you want to go out to a bar after you get engaged, I'm going to have to probably do this pretty soon. Don't have a freaking whole day dedicated where people have to bring gifts and stuff.
Wait, you're getting engaged soon?
Maybe, I don't know.
Ooh, hoppa toots. I had an exciting weekend also getting rescued. I was on a boat out in the middle of the Long Island Sound. It hit a rock and the engine died and like smack dab in the middle of the sound as the sun was going down. And a sea tow, a little sea tow buddy with a rope came out, was there faster than a Domino's pizza could get to you. So we were staying on the Long Island side of the Long Island Sound. The boat that we were on got towed back to the New York side, almost to the Connecticut border on the other side of the Long Island Sound. And so the group I was with, we had to take a several $100 Uber from that side of the sound all the way around.
You had to go back from Connecticut back to Long Island?
Mm-hmm. All the way around the sound at an Uber because the boat hit a rock. So that was a treat.
Wow. Who was driving?
A lovely fella.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was one of Donnie Does who works here. It was like one of his acquaintances, one of his buddies.
There you go.
So that explains it. It was a whole adventure, I'll tell you what. So that was a thing. But
I actually think I saw an Instagram story of that person drinking prior to your excursion there.
Maybe.
So sorry, Gilligan. That wasn't a good idea.
No, I didn't know.
Strikes again.
Oh, Katie, safety brief. We were like, well, is there enough life jackets for everybody? No. Go. Okay. You know, these little things that maybe I should be more aware of these days.
But I am proud of you. I am proud of you for knowing that the other side of the Long Island Sound was Connecticut, because I don't think most people realize that.
Thank you. They pointed it out. They're like, look, there's Mark Jacobs' new house. There's Connecticut. Here's where the sea toad's going. I was like, all right, sick.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. It's on the retreat. What?
Chaps. Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I think it's great. I think this might be the first time in ZBD history after almost 300 episodes where there's a movie that we both really, really like with Legends of the Fall. I know it does, which makes me feel so comfortable.
Sound the retreat.